If you have any questions, you can always join the conversation. You can text us at 35270. That is sponsored by 702 Communication, keeping you connected with high-speed internet. Right now, we'll catch up with Dr. Allison Horniak here on KFGO from Sanford Health. We're going to talk about kids and COVID. Dr. Horniak, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time. So is there anything new we've learned about COVID in kids? Now, it doesn't seem that COVID is showing up in children as prevalently as adults. Is that still the case?
That's still the case. I think internationally, the rate of COVID in kids, as far as, you know, compared to adults, it's about 1 to 5% of COVID cases are in kids. We're seeing a little bit higher than that in North Dakota. As of our data yesterday, between ages 0 and 20, that made up for about 13% of our cases in North Dakota. But then, of course, that does include that 18 to 20-year-old group. So we're similar to that. So, yeah, certainly a relatively small portion of the COVID cases.
Are we finding that many of the children that test positive for COVID-19 are asymptomatic?
We haven't done a ton of asymptomatic testing in North Dakota. So certainly looking at the North Dakota kids, yes, they are mostly mildly symptomatic for sure. Looking at testing that's been done elsewhere in the country or internationally, we do see a fair amount of asymptomatic testing, asymptomatically positive kids as well.
You know, when we think about children, I have read, and I'm not sure if this is true, so I'll ask you to comment on it, Dr. Horniak. Is it true that children are not good at spreading COVID-19?
That's absolutely true and very reassuring. We're seeing a lot of literature coming out on that lately, particularly as related to school reopenings, you know, other countries that reopen, you know, where the wave hit them earlier and they had time to reopen school, or countries that kind of are open during the summertime for school. We're seeing data, particularly looking at in that setting and whether kids can transmit. And it seems that, yes, the rate of kids transmitting to other kids or transmitting to adults is very, very low if it's really present at all. There's only been a few case reports where they think a child has transmitted to an adult. It's much more likely that the child acquires the infection from an adult in a household setting from a caregiver.
Yeah, you know, I read some statistics on it from other countries. Contact tracing studies in China, Iceland, Britain, and the Netherlands all failed to locate a single case of child-to-adult infection out of thousands of transmission events, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and it's different. It's different than what we were expecting, because we knew with influenza, kids are really good at spreading influenza. And so I think we were prepared to have the same issues with coronavirus, and it's not playing out that way, which is great news.
Do you think that with the information that we have, what do you think about all of the studies now, though, that are saying that there could be infections or medical conditions that come down the line because of a case of COVID-19? Are we finding that maybe kids are coming up with syndrome, like that Kawasaki disease is one that comes to mind when I talk about this? Are kids coming in with a higher rate of that, and that could be that they had COVID without knowing?
Yeah, certainly that can be if they were asymptomatically infected, or if they had, you know, a mild respiratory illness and then several weeks later end up with MISC, which is that multi-inflammatory syndrome. And this is, you know, it's something that happens after viral illnesses fairly frequently in kids. It has the potential to happen after a lot of different viral illnesses. But we're seeing it so much more now because COVID is kind of the big thing that everyone's getting. And so we're seeing this very clear kind of spike in these different sort of inflammatory autoimmune disorders afterwards. But it's really, you know, in the pediatric infectious diseases world, it's not an uncommon thing to see these sorts of things after viral illnesses. That's sort of one way that our autoimmune sort of, you know, things get kind of revved up in response to a viral infection.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. So I still do want to reassure that it's still very, very rare. We're talking, you know, 1% of kids who had COVID will go on to potentially have these sorts of things.
So, Dr. Joel Heitkamp here, my question of you is this. I'm going to place you at the mantle of, you're now head of the Department of Public Instruction. Would you start schools then this fall? That's the question you didn't want, right?
I'm not in that position. You know, and I can't speak, you know, my kids are 4 and 2, so I don't have kids that are school age yet. But certainly I would be eager for my kids to return to school this fall if they were.
That's going to be one of the big questions that come up now, though, and it's going to be based on the world you live in, which is the world of science. And everything that you've said so far, if it was my child and that child was in school, wouldn't scare me to send them off to school. Now, if I'm the 70-year-old janitor, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm thinking about one of the studies I was reading, looking at school transmission in Singapore. They did see an outbreak amongst teachers at a school, that teachers were passing it amongst themselves, but there weren't any students involved in that outbreak. So I do think there is potentially a concern for teachers transmitting it to each other, and how do we prevent that sort of transmission. But, I mean, certainly I worry, you know, with kids being homebound more often, you know, we are seeing increased rates of child abuse anecdotally here in Fargo, and certainly the food insecurity issues, mental health issues for kids, behavioral and emotional problems, kids that have, you know, autism spectrum disorder that kind of thrive on structure, being home. You know, I think so. It's definitely, there's a balance of risk versus benefit. And certainly we're not going to take the risk of COVID to zero. We're just going to mitigate the risk, make it as low as possible. But, you know, so I think we have to weigh those risks and benefits.
Yeah. You know, and we actually had someone on the air yesterday on this show, who sort of made the case that, listen, childcare looks safe and we should start acting like it as a country. So if you want to hear one person's really, really frank opinion about it, you can go back and listen to that from yesterday as well, because he sort of made that point that it is the teachers that we're putting at risk, not the kids. And how do we navigate that when we open up schools?
So, doctor, how big of a role are kids then playing in the testing of how we can get our arms around COVID? Because if they have the ability to not contract it, or to not spread it, or to not get sick with it the same way that I might as an adult, what do they have that I don't have?
Well, and we're trying to figure that out. And we think some of it is related to, you know, the receptors that the virus uses to get into our, you know, the cells in our body, and that kids have fewer of those receptors to take it at a very basic level. So that's potentially one of the things. And they also don't, because they aren't getting as sick from it, they don't produce as much, as strong of a cough or that sort of thing. So they're not as likely to transmit it. The same thing happens with kids with tuberculosis. We know kids with TB just do not transmit it very well because they're not very good at aerosolizing it and getting it out into the environment.
Interesting. Really interesting. Is there an age that you look to? And I know this conversation was about kids. I get that. But is there an age that you and everybody else having a cup of coffee in the doctor's room that you look at and say, you know what, you're fairly safe until that age?
You mean in terms of a poor outcome from COVID or being able to transmit it?
The poor outcome, in large part, I'm sure that pre-existing condition weighs in on that, all of that. But if I'm a 40-year-old and I want to live a normal life, could I?
You're putting me in a tough spot. I mean, I would say that certainly you should follow the regulations of the community you're living in and what kind of rules they're putting in place.
But
I think certainly your highest risk is, closer than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes.
I mean,
your risk going to the grocery store and all of that is low. Going to a wedding, your risk is higher.
I think this is the hard part about COVID-19 is that it defies easy answers. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is an easy answer for anything. We know some things to be true. I mean, there are 30-year-olds, you can read of cases of 30-year-olds that are otherwise healthy who die of COVID-19.
But I think the doctor gave the only answer she could. You gave the only answers you could, and intelligent answers. I think you're spot on from everything I know. I just wanted to hear you say it. So thank you, doctor.
Well, I'm trying not to be controversial, but certainly that's, the advice I offer my families, and, my personal family, in terms of their risk.
Dr. Allison Horniak, Sanford Health, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Sure, anytime. Nice talking to you guys.